Myanmar's future prosperity depends on mining, and the world's big resource companies are keen to exploit the country's vast oil, gas and mineral wealth. But for a developing country transitioning to democracy, this is an area fraught with social, economic and environmental problems. Our Trade and Investment Minister, Andrew Robb, has been on a four-day visit to Myanmar, where he's met with political and business leaders. Andrew Robb is speaking here to Karen Snowden about a positive role Australia can play.
Certainly, there's been, from my observation in the last few days, a great sense of welcoming of Australia's involvement. We are committing something like $90 million a year of aid monies. And so far, we have come in to Myanmar in a way which is not confronting, it's respectful, it's cooperative. And I think that's reflected in this request to bring together a range of people from the mining sector in the months ahead to help them with the regulations that will attach to the mining legislation, which I think is due to go through in the next few weeks.
Does it give Australia too much influence, perhaps, in an area in which Australian companies are very keen to participate?
No, I think it's very important in the developing world that they get responsible mining. There's so many examples around the world in the developing world where, you know, there are companies coming in that have got no interest really in the locals, have bad safety records, unethical in their behaviour. And I think we've got so much to offer. If we can help them set up their laws and the rules, then they will attract significant companies, not just from Australia, but from all around the world. They want stability and certainty here, and the only way they'll get that and get the trade and investment that goes with it is if they have the right legal and rules-based framework. And that seems to be understood very much from the President down, and I think we can really do some wonderful things here in helping them realise their potential.
It's in stark contrast, though, isn't it, perhaps, to our other resource-rich neighbour, and I'm thinking of Indonesia here. I can't imagine Australia, for example, being asked to review Indonesia's mining laws for it or helping it out in that regard. But still, you know, Foreign Minister Julie Bishop has signed the intelligence sharing agreement yesterday with Indonesia. Now, do you think that that signing will contribute to improving the trade and business relationship as well with Indonesia? You know, it's been suffering for some time with the beef ban, the new mining law is not comfortable for us, and generally that relationship isn't really meeting its potential.
Well, I think it's back on very much an even keel with the signing by Julie Bishop yesterday. But secondly, I must say on the trade side, Tony Abbott and myself and Julie Bishop went to Indonesia in the first 10 days after the election as a signal of the significance that we attach to Indonesia, and the live cattle exercise was reinstated during that time. And I really am confident now that not only the trade but the broader relationship will settle down and will be what it should be between two close neighbours.
Returning to where you are right now in Myanmar, in your press release announcing your visit there, you pointed out that in the country's transition to democracy, ongoing work on human rights will be essential. Now, given, as you've mentioned, we spend $90 million a year in aid in the country, and just this month the United Nations has said there is a humanitarian crisis in Myanmar, with 250,000 people displaced due to internal conflicts, the Rohingya people still face harassment and violence. Should we be so keen to do business there, given that?
Well, a lot of that, those problems are a function of the past, and they're real, but so much of that displacement and all the rest was because of tensions in the past. And
there are ongoing conflicts. Conflicts with the Kachin and the Rohingyas, as I say, are still being harassed.
I'm not saying there's not some ongoing disputes, but a lot of that displacement, the quarter of a million people, was a function of the problems. And it's one of the reasons, I think, why there seems to have been clear decisions taken by the government here to seek to bring Myanmar back into normal relations with the world and to seek to restore prosperity to their people. And we are helping them. I mean, that's in the end the ultimate objective, is to restore peace and harmony through prosperity.
Australia still retains limited sanctions in the area of military weapons in relation to Myanmar. Was that issue raised during your visit? Is the Myanmar government seeking an end to that situation?
No, it hasn't been raised with me. At this stage, we're very much looking at the infrastructure and the rule-based and all of those systems that will help them re-engage with the world in a very constructive way, so that they can, in fact, deal with the human rights issues and the depths of poverty that exist in many parts of the country.
What's your assessment of the progress of the country's transition to democracy during your visit there and your association with the country more broadly? Do you think it's progressing at a reasonable pace? There are many critics, of course, that say only the easiest reforms have gone through, and next year's election is a case in point.
Well, we'll see what happens there. Well, all I can say, it is encouraging. Of course, it's got to continue. There's an enormous amount still to be done.
That's Australia's Trade Minister Andrew Robb speaking to Karen Snowden. You're listening to Breakfast. It's 6:25.